if we could have an Abhishek today, the bathing of Lord Ram is a very important part of the festival, because with this bathing you acknowledge that he becomes the sovereign ruler of your life. An Abhishek or a royal bathing ceremony is only given in two instances. One is when a king, a new king, is installed. Say the old king has died, and the Yuvaraj, the prince, comes and is now made the king, so he's given a royal bathing ceremony. Or in spiritual occasions, the same ceremony is done to declare that, oh, now Lord Ram or Krishna or whoever, you are the ruler of my heart, you are the ruler of my life. I will talk very briefly because we are a little late in one sense. In another sense, we are just on time. Why so? Well, Lord Ram appears when the day turns into night, that is, at dusk. We say in German, die Abenddämmerung. My focus today will be on the mission of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ram, I'm sorry, and how we in modern times might be able to participate in this mission. So please chant with me the pranam mantras. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tang Sadivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Sham He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namosute Dapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vyavishwari Vishamanu Sute Devi Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. An avatar appears for three reasons. Not to make a good selling movie, that is a new reason. to protect the devotees, to remove the obstacles, on spiritual life, the asuric elements, and to finally establish dharma. No, this is why God descends and comes down into this earthly atmosphere, you could say, in this dense vibration of material and energy. He wants to protect his devotees, he wants to remove the rascals, really, and then establish dharma. This, however, is called only Naimittika dharma, that is dharma related to this world. The avatar creates dharma in this world. There is another dharma which is even more important. It's called the Nitya dharma, the eternal dharma of the living being. See, we are, as eternal souls, we are not so much touched by this material energy. It's like a dream where we only suffer because of identification. Our dharma is to develop love in our heart. So the avatar, on one level, creates dharma in this world, but on another level, he wants to bring people to their eternal loving relationship to God. The Queen Kunti acknowledges this in a prayer. She actually prays, why Krishna or any avatar appears. These are her words. Bhavismin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravana smaranarhani karishyan iti kechana. There are some people who say that you come to establish the dharma here on this mundane platform, but there are others who have a deeper perspective, who say that you appear in order to renovate bhakti, or the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that conditioned souls suffering from the material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. So, my dear everyone, the descent of Lord Rama into this atmosphere facilitates the ascent, the rise of the human being. If we want to understand Lord Rama, he wants all of us to enter a lift of consciousness where we move from a material worried consciousness with tangled thoughts, suffering our illusory little stories, and he wants us to rise and become liberated from our avidya, our ignorance, our karma. These are the desires which we develop in our ignorance, and the karma which comes from all this. No? Avidya karma karma bihi. The descent of the divine always facilitates the ascent or the rise of the human being. Let us quickly look at Ramachandra's pastimes. It's very interesting to note, when Shukadev Goswami, on this marathon of talking about Krishna and his avatars, when he arrives in the ninth canto, at the Ram avatar, something special happens. You can see here all the avatars. I must admit, I was having difficulty to identify Lord Ram because they look all the same. I was informed, the one who has a bow. So I looked for the bow, and I almost took the wrong. But we found the right one. So all these have been described, all these avatars, by Shukadev Goswami in the cantos before the ninth canto. Now he comes to the ninth canto, and when he talks about the Rama avatar, he begins to hesitate. He says, O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Rama have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. I give you only a summary. I don't tell the entire pastime because it's so well known. My dear devotees, the idea of the Ram Leela is also well known in the culture of the world. There is a Ramayana in Indonesia. There are many, many retellings of the Ramayana everywhere in the world. It's so well known and so much worshipped. So I want to just make it brief here. We have not so much time. All together, we are together, says Shukadev Goswami, for 7 days. Of the 7 days, perhaps, four have already passed, so I will be only brief, if you allow me. So this is what he says. May I know, have you all chanted the 108 names of Lord Ram? Have you noted in the translation when you looked on the right side that all his pastimes were described? That's amazing, no? When I chanted it, let me chant different from the Hare Krishna movement. Let me know what I chant. So let me read the translation of the names. And then I saw the whole pastime of Lord Ramachandra like an internal movie going through my heart. It was a wonderful experience. So here is an even briefer summary. Can I tell this to you? So it starts like this. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet. What is this about? To keep the promise of his father. Who remembers what was the promise of his father which made Lord Ramachandra give up the throne and walk barefoot with his soft feet through the forest? You remember, anyone? Yes, Konya Bihari?
The Kasala gave a promise to his wife Akheya that he will fulfill a desire.
Yes, yes, this yes, like I think you all remember this, and And Dasharath had to keep his promise, and he had to send his son Lord Ramachandra one night before the coronation in the forest. And there he walked. Now the very devotional perspective comes with his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palm. He had to walk barefoot, so it's quite tragic. Now the next point. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, king of the mountains, or by another monkey, Sugriva, and by his own younger brother Lakshman, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. What is that about?
Hanuman carried him on his back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, wonderful. When Rama was banished from the kingdom, Sita, his wife and queen, came to him and she said, "I want to go with you in the forest." And Ram said, "Absolutely not. The forest is not meant for a delicate princess." But then Sita gave this very famous answer. He said, "My dear Lord, when I'm with you in the forest, I am in Ayodhya, the capital town, with all the comforts of the royal opulence. But when I'm in Ayodhya and I'm not with you, I feel I'm in the dense, dangerous jungle inhabited by dangerous animals." Not very famously, she said, and she came along, and also Lord Lakshman, here it says Lord Lakshman came along, and they met actually in the forest. They were seen by another person who lived in exile. Ram was exiled for 13 years. There was another king who was exiled and who saw them. This was Sugriva, the king of the Vanaras. These are highly intelligent beings in the form, they look a little like monkeys, but they are very different. And they are very intelligent beings. And Sugriva saw Rama and Lakshman equipped with bows and heavy, strong bodies, and was afraid and asked Hanuman, his minister, to check them out. And Hanuman came, it's very beautifully described in the Ramayana. He changed his form. You can see no ordinary monkey can change his form, but Hanuman came into the form of a Brahmana and looked at Lord Ram from close, and in his heart he felt a twitching. Could that be my Lord? And he asked, he said, "I'm Hanuman, the minister of Sugriva. May I ask you to introduce yourself?" And Ram said, "Just ask your heart and you will know who I am." He recognized his eternal devotee even through the disguise. And Hanuman went in meditation inside and started to cry. This was Ram. No doubt was there with Lakshman. So he then began to help Lord Ram in his mission to get Sita. Now it gets complicated. In the forest, there were a few confrontations with demons, and in one of the confrontations, Sopanak, a demoniac lady. She was a very, very beautiful lady, but her heart was sharp and cold. She was the sister of Ravana, and when she saw Ram's beauty, Ram is very beautiful. He always has the royal marks on his body. He speaks never harsh words, not even when he is provoked. He's the ideal being. When she saw Ram, she fell in love. She was smitten with love and said, can I elope with you? Elope heißt so ein bisschen so weggehen und sich vergnügen. Can I elope with you? And Ram said, I'm sorry, I'm married to her. But my younger brother, Lakshman, is not married. Perhaps he wants to be. Lakshman, you know, these personalities, they are not deceived by external beauty and money and these material opulences. He could see right through the disguise. This was a demoness, you know. And he said, no need. So at this, Sopanak jumped on Sita and wanted to kill her. She screamed out, this woman is between you and me, Ram, and so on. So at that time, Ramachandra, this is the next point, cut off the nose and ears of Sopanak, thus disfiguring her. You know, a woman of that nature, not a devotee nature like you have, but they are blindly attached with the material body and their how they look. And when Sopanak's ears and nose was taken, this was the worst thing which could happen. So she went to an encampment of the demons, Kara and Kara was a Dushasan, maybe.
Dushan.
They were camping with 10,000 absolutely heavily armed Rakshasas, and she said, "Revenge, revenge! There are these two human beings with a lady in the forest. You must now." Re-establish my honor. So they, all this army, 10,000 demons, marched towards Ram. And Ram said to Lakshman, please take Sita into the cave. And he took his bow and single-handedly, by sometimes also expanding himself, he uprooted the entire demon army, and so on. So, but then Sita was kidnapped by Ravana. Sopanak went to her brother and said, listen, your whole encampment, your whole outpost has been destroyed. Now, I must tell you, this is all because of this lady who is so beautiful that you would love to be with her. Your own sister has been disfigured. Look, I have no nose and ears any longer. This looks very ugly. Please, you take revenge. So Ravan heard about Sita, and from the descriptions of Sopanak, he was so attracted to her that he decided he must have her as his queen, and he kidnapped her. Then Rama became very angry. In order to find Sita, he moved to an ocean. And moving his eyebrows, he frightened the ocean. it is described, Ram's eyes, who usually are very calm and gentle, became glowingly red, and he looked at the ocean with these eyes, and the whole water of the ocean started to evaporate, and the aquatics, you know, whales and fishes, screamed in pain. And then the powerful ocean deity came and said, "What are you doing? What do you want?" And Ram said, "I want to cross the ocean to go to Lanka on the other side and wage war against the Rakshasas to get Sita back. My wife has been abducted and kidnapped." So the ocean said, "Why don't you construct a bridge to cross the ocean again?" Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravan over this bridge to kill him like a fire, mightily, a fire. Oh, and the devotees sleep, they look so pure. the fire ate. It's a forest, so Lord Ram devoured the whole Rakshasa army. May that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. No? May that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. That's the brief summary of Ramchandra's Leela. But when Parikshit heard it, he was not satisfied and said, "Can you go a little bit more in the detail, please?" And then Sukadev Goswami described a little more. My dear devotees, all sacred scriptures have one driving question in it. What could be the driving question which pulsates and works in the Bhagavad Gita? I think you all have an idea. What is the right thing to do? No? What is Naimittika Dharma and what is Nitya Dharma? The end of the Bhagavad Gita celebrates that ultimately we should give up worldly duties and surrender to Krishna. But the driving question which Arjuna needed an answer to is, what's the right thing to do? Perhaps you also have sometimes such a question, no? When we stand at the crossroad of life. What is the driving question of the Srimad Bhagavatam? We remember the Srimad Bhagavatam is a discussion between between a king who only had 7 more days to live. He was an emperor of the whole world. And he asked a question, and in answer to his question, the entire 18,000 verses, or a lot of verses of the Bhagavatams were spoken. What should one think of at the time, before one's death? You know, this question is not only his question, what should I think of? The idea is that every one of you has already, your death is born with you the moment when you're enter this world. It is coming. It is something which we, of course, don't want to know, because death makes all our material activities seem to be questionable. But it is sure it will come to everyone. So what is the duty of someone who stands before death? That's Parikshit. That's the question which is answered in the Bhagavatam. Now, what is the driving question of the Ramayana? It's very... in the Ramayana, the author of the Ramayana, who writes down the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, is a man called Valmiki, who was a criminal before he turned into a saint. And he wants to know from Narada the saint, what are the characteristics of an ideal person? In other words, he wants to know the rules of an ideal behavior, human behavior. And as an answer to this question, Narada Muni says there's one person. He is now on this planet. He is an avatar of the all-powerful Vishnu. And by his words, by his activities, and even by his thoughts, he shows what is the behavior of an ideal person. This person is Lord Rama. Valmiki wants to, of course, see this Lord Rama, and at that time, his Narada Muni opens his spiritual eyes, and he sees all the pastimes of Lord Rama, which are going on at the same moment. It's the same. Valmiki is seeing what is just now happening in the Middle East, so to say, in Lord Rama's activities. I'm just saying some modern equivalent. And he writes this down. Do you know of another person who was seeing and hearing a divine conversation and writing it, and it was written down? Sanjaya, yes, who saw the battle of Kurukshetra and the momentous talk between Krishna and Arjuna, which has become world literature. Now in order, now you need to be a little bit attentive. It's the last difficult point. The rest is very easy. In order, my dear devotees, for Lord Rama to exhibit the ideal behavior of a human being, he needed to forget that he is God. Because, you know, if God acts ideally, we say, that I can never do, I'm not God, I'm a man from Hamburg, you know. But he acted more human than divine, because he wanted to show the ideal behavior. Therefore, he was organizing that a bridge is built from Lanka to from South India to Lanka. He could have transported with his Shakti the entire army. In fact, he didn't need an army of Vanaras, but he acted like this. And there was a scene, I will just give you, there are millions of scenes, but I will give you one. When he was in the thick of war, Inderjit was throwing a weapon which is not available at the present time in military weapons. It was a Nagapasha, a snake weapon. What it was is these beings came and they would bind these soldiers from the other side, as snakes do, like pythons who can squeeze you. So the entire Vanara army was bound by Naga Pashas, and even Ram and Lakshman were in the grip of these terrible hissing snake weapons. And they could not move. No? At this moment, Garuda, the mighty carrier of Lord Vishnu, comes, and as he flaps with his wings, the sounds of the Vedas appear, and the Nagas see the eagle, who is the main. Garuda has the shape of an eagle, and they become frightened. The Nagas don't become frightened of many things. We have been doing, had our Panchakarma treatment near a Naga temple where there are these powerful Naga beings. And I always go one time and pay my obeisances and then quickly run away because they are very mystical and very easy to be annoyed. They are easily annoyed. So Garuda comes and all these Nagas flee. And then Rama looks in his face and asks, "Who are you?" So Garuda says, "You certainly know who I am, O Almighty Vishnu. I'm your carrier. Don't you recognize me? I'm not Vishnu. But very nice to meet the carrier of Vishnu." So this is one of the many, many examples. But, my dear devotees, remember the Nitya Dharma, the eternal purpose, is not to take care of the the unbalanced world. The Nitya Dharma of Lord Rama's appearance is to give bhava or devotional feelings, a bhava sindhu actually, an ocean of devotional feelings in the heart of every conditioned soul. And therefore the Ramayana or Rama's pastime is a living tradition. This is my second point. A living tradition. It's alive. In 1950, Ramanand Sagar made a movie called Ramayana. And when people in India saw Lord Rama on the TV set, you can't believe what that did. They had heard about Rama in the traditional ways of keeping a tradition alive, that is, through kathas, hearing, through dramas about Lord Rama, through poetic renditions about Lord Rama, through song, painting, it means various art forms. The remembrance of Lord Ram was carried by these soft means which don't need any institution into the present time. Katha means narrations, song, dance, drama, art, and so on. They knew about Ram, but now Lord Ram was in the TV. You know what they did? Because they are participating in a live tradition, they paid obeisances and made artiks. Yes, in India people are not always wealthy, so sometimes 50 people, 100 people were before the TV and cried when Sita was kidnapped and protested when Ravan came on, but they start to worship and sing when Lord Rama came in the TV. I have seen this myself. When I was in Vashana, I had just seen the darshan in the temple, and I went down, and you know where the merchants are, the markets are, and I saw a huge assembly of people before one shop, and I was interested what is in miraculous India. It's always so fresh in India. And I saw there was one little TV set. And when Ram, and it was about Lord Ram, the Ramayana, when he came out, then people took out their small little lamps, the ghee lamps, you know. Ram, Ram, Ram. Because the idea is of Lord Ram to appear in the heart of people. That's the internal reason. No? And even when there was COVID, the COVID times, and people were not able to travel very freely, the TV people understood from Doordarshan, that's the main channel, is it Doordarshan? Like, yes. First program, you know, ARD, ZDF, or whatever it's called. They decided to put on the Ramayana in the TV because they knew people would all come together. There would be nobody who would not come, not even an atheist, if that exists in India. And they would sit before the TV and cry, and because the idea of Ram, the idea of Krishna consciousness, is it must be a living tradition. It cannot be an empty belief system or rituals or formulas and so on. Otherwise, if the bhava, that is the loving ecstasy, goes, you lose the whole thing. So therefore, of the Ramayana, there are many, many retellings. My dear devotees, I came to know there are so many stories which are added to the kathas. And all these stories are accepted by wise and saintly devotees as long as they are in harmony with the tattva of Ram and the rasa of Ram. What that is, most of you know. For instance, I heard from one Ramayana, there it's described that Ravana once visited his brother Vibhisan, who was secretly worshipping Ram. Vibhisan had a deity of Ram. And Ravan said to his brother, "Do you know that the person whom you are worshipping is standing with a huge army before our land? And you are worshipping him and offering him flowers and devotion?" And Vibhisan, "Do you know what I will do with you? I will now kill you with my sword, because this is not, you are a traitor," and so on. "No, no, no," said Vibhisan, "you do not understand. Ra means Ravan, and Ma means Mahodari, your queen. I'm only chanting your glories, Ra, Ma, abbreviation, you know." "Oh, yes, because if we chant your names, Ravan and Mahodari," Vibhisan, he had to say this because otherwise he would be killed, you know. And the first rule always is save your life if you can. So, what? I've never heard this. Yes, Ravan, Ma, Mahodari. Simple. Even a child can understand. "Oh," said Ravan, then let us paint this name all over the walls of Lanka." And he ordered his legions of demons to write Rama, Rama, Rama. This is how clever the devotees of the Lord are. So this is one of the millions of stories which fascinates us as we hear. But I wanted to just say the main idea of Lord Ram is to give the Ram Bhakti into the hearts of his devotees. I want to introduce to you briefly one great example of how Rama's story, the Ramayana, is a living tradition. There is this great devotee of Ram, Tulsi. Prabhupada said Tulsi became a great devotee of Ram. His book, Ramcharitamanasa, is there. He was always thinking of Ram, and his book is the only important book in the Hindi language. this Tulsidas wanted to always see Lord Ram. He wanted it's a long story, but to give you the brief idea, he developed a great fascination with Lord Ram, and he asked a powerful Brahmin, how can I find Ram in this life? Where is he? And the Brahmana said, I can't tell you how, where he exactly is. He's everywhere. But I can tell you the way to find him. And then he said, there, not far from here, there is a regular Ramkatha, where the pastimes of Lord Rama are narrated. On the edge of the people who come, you will find an ugly leper. Go to this Ramkatha. When it's over, immediately go to this leper. The leper will jump up and he will run away, but you should run after him. And if you can, ask him to show you his real form. This leper who is there listening to Ramkatha, anyone has an idea who he might be? Hanuman! Yes! In Brihad Bhagavatamrita it is said, as long as there is the narration of Ram, Hanuman will stay on this planet because he likes to hear the narration of Ram. So you go. He is disguised because he doesn't want anyone to know who he is, and you asked him to reveal his real form. So Tulsidas did this. He listened to the narrations on Lord Ram, and he saw at the edge there was a leper who was sitting like this. And when the Ramkatha stopped, he got up and quickly went away. So Tulsi went after him, and when they came to a dark forest, he grabbed the feet and says, can you please tell me? I want to see my Ram. I know that you are Hanuman. Please reveal yourself. At that time, Hanuman gave up his disguise and stood there with a club, with a tail. Hanuman, supremely attractive Hanuman. And Tulsi said, how can I find Ram? And Hanuman said, go now to Chitrakut and serve the devotees there. All the devotees in Chitrakut are devotees of Ram. You should every day make sandalwood paste for the devotees, to worship the devotees. And one day, a very special person will come. And at that time, I will be there and I will tell you, this is Lord Ram. He will also come in disguise. So this is what happened. Tulsi went to Chitrakut. One morning, he was sitting making sandalwood pulp, when all of a sudden, a person came whom he had never seen before. And he took some of the sandalwood. He put it on his head. Then he put it on Tulsi's head. That time Hanuman said, "This is him." Then that person went to all the sadhus and gave him them a dot of sandalwood. Tulsi was, "It's him." And then the person looked at Tulsi Das, and all of a sudden Tulsi Das could see the greenish body of the Lord with a bow and his gentle face, and in a very soft voice Lord Ram said, "I have come." It's a living tradition, my dear devotees, and in the Bhaktamala are a few incidences of even more modern devotees, 16th century, who have seen Lord Ram. And this is what the Lord sometimes does. He comes in disguise. Who knows an example from Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishna comes in disguise? At Govinda Kund, no? Madhavendra Puri sits there after a Govardhan Parikrama, and he chants ecstatically the names of the Lord. And then a little boy comes and says, "Baba, you're not begging madhukari? You're not eating? I have brought some milk for you." And he gives the milk and then goes away. Madhavendra Puri drinks the milk and feels ecstatic symptoms of love of God. And in the evening, the boy comes again and says, "I'm actually him whom you worship. I am lying there here at Govinda Kund in such place. Please take me out of the earth. I have been hiding because the soldiers had come from the Muslim faith and they have wanted to break me, so my priest hit me, so you find me there." So in this way, yes, the Lord comes in disguise. Madhava, he might come in disguise for you. You never know. Radhika, if you want to see Krishna, he may not always come in the form in which you worship him on the altar. He may come in disguise. And it is necessary to see him. But you can only see him through eyes that are treated with a very special medicine. The eyes of devotion. And this will be my last point. My dear devotees, Krishna consciousness, as I said, should be a living tradition, because the whole idea of this is not temples, is not printing many books. The whole idea is not to build a community. The whole idea is not to eat prasadam finally. The whole idea is to develop love in the heart. All these other things are valuable only if they bring this. This building, this temple building, is valuable only when it brings you to this stage. To raise your consciousness, to raise your heart, which is now in dense matter and is captured. No? So this is the whole idea. This is the internal reason of the Lord's appearance. There is a book which is in our tradition. It is Bhaktisiddhanta has recommended this book, and anyone who wanted to pass as a preacher in his movement had to learn this book. It's called Bhaktamala. It's a very interesting book. It is written, there was a time when the devotees were not united. The different sanghas who had different ideas were quarreling with each other. No? Like today also. This book is now written to experience, not to describe the experience of these devotees, even in different sampradayas, so that we develop appreciation. And in the beginning, it is said how a devotee who wants to read this book has to make bhakti alive in his life. Because when you may hear many things, you may hear philosophy, if you have no devotion, it is boring for you. No? You want to avoid it. Like hell. So you need to make bhakti alive. In our tradition, it is also important to bring a mantra alive through sacred initiation. There are also, in some traditions, there are ways that is pujas to bring the mantras alive. You need to always see that whatever you do is alive with bhakti. Look at your Gayatri mantras. When you have no bhakti in the heart when you chant them, you avoid chanting them, you drop them. No? Look at the Hare Krishna mantra. When you have no bhakti in your heart, no love, you don't like to complete rounds. You just don't like to do it. So therefore, or when you hear about devotees, you will not feel the ecstasy of it if it's not a living tradition, if you participate in a dead tradition. No? So there is a way to make bhakti alive, just like a deity. When you have a deity and you worship the deity, have you noticed those who have deities, how the deity becomes alive for you? You have seen? Jayatam, you have a deity you worship? Who? Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra and Gonita, yes. We have seen this. We were now for a long time in South India. First in North India for the retreat, and we couldn't take our Radha Kanaya Lal with us, but they were worshipped by very nice devotees, very pakka, very properly, and so on. And I remember what we did to not lose the connection is we took a little a photograph and we worshipped it every day, because we know Krishna only is alive for you if you worship him. That's why every one of you likes to do kirtan so much, because you can feel when you really do kirtan, Krishna consciousness becomes alive for you. No? So Bhakti Devi, also this bhakti becomes alive for you if you worship her by giving her a ceremony. The first ceremony is, I've written it down, you need to first of all cleanse Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi may be old in your life, and it may be that she may be dusted because you never cared about her. So you need to now cleanse her devotional body with the fragrant oil of your faith. Then you need to cleanse her a second time with the scented oil of hearing. My dear devotees, only when you hear again and again about Krishna will your false ego go away. Otherwise, you stay in a false conception. You need to bathe Bhakti Devi with the crystal clear waters of Smaranam. Yes, you need to sit and remember, meditate about Krishna. This gives her a crystal clear Abhishek bath. Then you need to dry her body with the towel of compassion. You cannot develop bhakti if you only think about your own self. You have to be compassionate towards others. Then you have to dress her with garments of humility. You need to be humble. Then you have to apply fragrant cosmetics of firm determination. Baba Sindhu, firm determination will be like a fragrant cosmetic which will make Bhakti Devi wow. You need to adorn her with the ornament of chanting the holy names, and in this way a whole ceremony is given, and if you do this you will attain loving service of the divine couple. My point is, we might forget all this and this image or this metaphor. My point here is only, Lord Ram appeared to give us a living tradition of living bhakti. And when he left this planet, when his mission was completed, something very beautiful happened. The way he left this planet. When Lord Ramachandra, Atma Jyoti Agatata, when he reached that place beyond the Brahma Jyoti and entered his own abode, he placed his lotus feet in the heart of those who always think of him. I want to read this verse for you in Sanskrit because I know you will love it. Smaratam hriti vinyasya vidam dandaka kantakai svapada palavang rama atma jyoti agatata. After completing the last sacrifice, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet were sometimes pierced by thorns when he lived in the forest of Dandakaranya, this Lord Ramachandra placed those lotus feet in the hearts of all of those who always think of him. Then he entered his own abode, the Vaikuntha planet beyond the Brahma Jyoti. Shri Ramachandra ki jai. We will just sing for 2 minutes and then I will let you go. Please, everyone.
Sita Ram, Jai Jai.
Sitaram, Sitaram, Jai Jai Ram. One more time, all of us. One more time, please. One more time, please. Everyone, please. I remember very fondly, I was once during Ramachandra's appearance day invited in Croatia for a conference on peace where many leading politicians took part. Not Truman was not coming, but Tuchman, or what was his name at that time. But many of his cabinet were coming. And I had exactly 10 minutes to make my presentation. It was Ramachandra's appearance day, and I spoke about peace, that the spiritual concept of making peace, which needs also political willpower, but it is to make peace in your heart, make peace in your family, make peace in your neighborhood, make, you know, like this, the inside-out approach. I said we need also the outside approach, but I'm talking now about the spiritual concept. I wanted to make sure, even if you make a political peace, if people are not peaceful inside their heart, their hearts, they will have war in their family, you know, and divorce and all these things. So I wanted to make this point, and I said, I want you now, today is Ramchandra's appearance day, to just chant with me the name of that avatar that divine descent who came at a time when huge military forces were planning to take over the entire civilization. That was the plan of the Rakshasas, really. Die waren voll in der Aufrüstung drin. So let's chant his name. And I started this. I had my little machine. I had it on C, like here, I still remember. And then I started, okay. You know, the initial steps for mantra meditation, for a restless mind. And I think the Hare Krishna movement would really benefit if they would take this little tip, is to do some pranayama, because the quickest access to the mind is over the bridge of the breath. So I did a little breathing thing, only of two minutes, and then said, okay, now sit properly. We have to make the sound ram. I will first do it, and then you do it after me. And the whole hall, I don't know, it was Ram's mercy for them. It was so loud and so pervading and so intense, and we could feel something divine. And at the end of, when everything was over, we planted a tree outside, a peace tree. And then then people were talking amongst themselves, and many of these Nadelstreifen politicians, these people in blue suits with with stripes, they came to me and said, wow, what was that? That was Ram. I've always seen that when you can bring people to chant Ram, but with devotees it will only work. They are the hardest audience, the devotees, because they are in they have their habits, which is usually infiltrated with material activities, and then they don't feel anything. The best way was to bring their minds, make their minds peaceful first, and then chant. And oh, I never forget this. I look for the time when I'm invited for the Olympia Stadium, maybe after a Coldplay concert. We have some plans in this direction, and do with the whole everyone Ram. That is my dream, and hopefully Krishna fulfills it. Good. I thank you all very much for being with me and for tolerating my sometimes, you notice I sometimes do this because I want you to become ecstatic. This is the whole thing, and for that you need to come into, you need to maybe look at old patterns in your life which are no longer helping you. Yes, it's very, very nice to be again back in Germany. We will be tomorrow in the Berlin Temple. If you like to come, you're most welcome. There is a kirtan event starting at 2:00, I believe, no? And we will also come, and you are most welcome. But now I think there is a Prasadam festival. I also can't wait. want to thank also, I think some of us have fasted the whole day, so we are now eager to take Prasadam. I want to thank all of you online. Thank you, and see you again. Hare Krishna.